Squeeze Box, and before that, Smashing Nice's favourite record, Backman Turner Overdrive, mates. Let's rock. And a special good morning to Johnny Herbert as well, who's no doubt limbering up for the Monaco Grand Prix in his usual style. Full English breakfast, pints of Guinness, little siesta, afternoon tea, maybe some clotted cream scones. Hope you have a good weekend, Johnny. Millions of holidaymakers in the UK are set to defy government orders not to travel to amber list countries, despite warnings that trips should only be made in exceptional circumstances. Does anyone know what's going on? Boris Johnson's been told to expect a flood of bookings if the EU opens its doors to fully vaccinated Britons without the need for COVID-19 tests or quarantine. A decision expected this week amid mounting confusion over the rules from The Independent, which says that 5 million UK holidaymakers are booked to travel abroad to amber list destinations for the summer, which includes France, Greece, Spain and other holiday hotspots. The travel industry has already reported a boom in bookings following the lifting of restrictions on international travel, which came into effect on Monday. In fact, the beaches in Portugal are now crowded with British holidaymakers. Irene Hayes, the boss of Hayes Travel, says the British government will need to respond because the British people will know that from Europe's perspective, they're allowed to travel there. Now, the firm said it had experienced a 170% boom in inquiries to amber list destinations in recent days and expected many more as soon as people have got the advice that they can take these holidays. The warning came as the travel industry and opposition MPs united in attacking what Labour called the dangerous chaos over what the new traffic light rules mean. George Eustace, the Environment Secretary, said trips to visit family or friends were permitted to amber list countries, including Mediterranean sunspots, Greece, France, Spain and Italy. But within hours, Mr Johnson contradicted him, and he said they were not somewhere you should be going on holiday, other than from some pressing family or urgent business reason. Lord Bethel, a health minister, issued an even tougher message, telling peers, travelling is dangerous, travelling is not for this year, please stay in this country. So, unless they actually sort of say, don't go there, you can go there. But
I'm really confused, because I've been trying to do it for my parents, yeah. And they've gone back and forth, obviously. The underlining message, I guess, is not to travel if you don't have to. But then where do you say, OK, well, I'm prepared to go somewhere and spend a few weeks there for a holiday or see family or friends?
Well, that's it. I mean, and people are desperate to see their families, yeah. Grandchildren and the rest, so they haven't seen them for well over a year. So,
and it's the testing as well that seems really unclear as to where in the UK, if you're flying out of the UK, where you can get tested and how much you have to pay for that testing.
Apparently free testing over here for tourists.
Apparently so.
Which is good. Mm. And they've really kept the cost of testing down, which is great. So it's quite expensive in the UK, isn't it? Anyway, I mean, maybe they should have some clearer rules. I think the EU is going to announce by the end of this week whether it will allow British tourists who have been vaccinated to come in without a PCR. You'll have to show your QR code or something when you come in. But there was another warning from a member of the Border Force, which was reported in The Guardian today, saying that anyone flying back from a holiday can expect to wait for 4 hours before getting back into the country, because they haven't got the staff to cover it. And then you have the question of sort of cramped conditions in the arrival terminal and, no social distancing and poor ventilation. So stay at home.
Yes, maybe.
Unless you really, really, really have to come. 17 minutes past eight.
And now it's time for Woofer of the Week on 106.5 Riviera Radio.
Good morning. Today we have a beautiful Dalmatian looking for a forever home. I think it might be the first one we've ever had. He's 6 years old and he's called Jazz. He knows the basic commands and also how to walk nicely on a lead, which is good because he weighs around 30 kilos. He's an affectionate dog and needs a garden and daily walks, please. He's more sociable with female dogs than male, and really he would prefer to have you all to himself. If you'd like to find out more about him, you can email the Saint-Collier-Provence shelter, and their address is SCP, that stands for Saint-Collier-Provence, SCP83@orange.fr. And you can also call them on 0619572181 and leave a message and they'll call you back. Have a lovely week.
That was Woofer of the Week. For more details about this week's Woofer, go to the 106.5 Riviera Radio page on Facebook or our website at rivieraradio.mc. Woofer of the Week on 106.5 Woof. the Yarra Radio.
Pop quiz.
Yes, and it's all about famous birthdays today.
Oh, okay.
It's all about birthdays. So if your birthday is on May the 19th, your zodiac sign is, of course, Taurus. Your birthstone is emerald, and your birth flower is the lily. And May the 19th, 2021 means the following, that your life path number is one. It represents initiative, potential, and that you're a born leader.
Are you listening, Declan Philpott? I've just noticed it's your birthday on Facebook. Declan. Okay. And my mate, I went to school.
Happy birthday, Declan.
Happy birthday, Declan, you little lily. You.
Question number one. This male English musician, singer, songwriter was born on this day in 1945 and had the 1967 US number 9 single, I Can See for Miles, plus over 20 other UK top 40 singles.
You're talking
with
about
the group.
Yeah,
but who's the member
Which
of the
group? Which one is it, Roger Daltrey or Pete Townsend? That is the question.
That is the question. Do you want to phone a friend?
I shall 50-50. Say it is Roger Daltrey.
No, you're wrong.
Oh, Pete Townsend.
Yes. Another birthday today. This female Jamaican singer, songwriter and supermodel born on this day in 1948 scored the 1985
Grace
UK...
Grace Jones.
Well done. Didn't even have to give you a title of one of her songs.
My Jamaican Guy.
Well done. And finally, on this day in 1960, this British female pop singer was born. She scored the 1988 UK number one dance track, The Only Way Is Up.
Yes, and the plastic population.
Yes.
Have we got that? Because I seem to remember last time I looked for it, it disappeared.
Oh, really? Oh, mm. I thought you played it.
It doesn't come up. When you type in Yaz, it doesn't come up. But if you type in The Only Way Is Up, it does. How's about that?
The Press Review is brought to you by BMW Côte d'Azur.
Starting with The Guardian today, coronavirus has exposed decades-long weaknesses in governments and divisions in wider society. An official UK parliamentary watchdog has said, including neglect of social care and chronic underfunding in local governments. Amid renewed questions over the reopening timetable, the National Audit Office warned that from the very start of the pandemic, a lack of planning had left ministers without a playbook on how to respond. In the report released today, that pulls together lessons from more than a dozen more sector-specific reports into the handling of COVID, the NAO said the virus laid bare existing fault lines within society, such as the risk of widening inequalities and within public service delivery and governments itself. It said coronavirus had stress-tested the government's ability to deal with unforeseen events, noting it had shown the need for government to be systematic in planning for emergencies and to learn lessons at speed. Boris Johnson has told his cabinet that he intends to proceed with the roadmap for lifting England's lockdown, despite concerns over a new coronavirus variant, but said the government would monitor the data over the coming days. On Tuesday, the Prime Minister told reporters he saw no conclusive evidence to delay the full reopening of the economy on the 21st of June, though sources have suggested it may not be as comprehensive a lifting of restrictions as previously billed. Johnson said, I don't see anything conclusive at the moment to say we need to deviate from the roadmap, adding that more would be known in a few days' time.
In this morning's Le Monde, Air France KLM has flown a biofuel-powered Airbus A350 from France to Canada on Tuesday, demonstrating the airline's readiness to adopt low-emissions fuel. The Air France flight took off from Charles de Gaulle Airport with a 16% mix of sustainable aviation fuel in its fuel tanks, produced by France by Total from used cooking oil. The flight signalled a shared ambition to decarbonise air transportation and develop an SAF supply chain in France. Starting next year, flights departing from France will be required to use 1% SAF ahead of European Union goals to reach 2% by 2025 and 5% by 2030 under the bloc's Green Deal policy.
The Washington Post says the Israeli military on Tuesday said it plans to expand its bombardment the Hamas tunnel networks that run under civilian areas in Gaza in the coming days, despite growing international calls for a ceasefire. Violence engulfed the occupied West Bank, where Palestinians held demonstrations in solidarity. In another day of escalating conflict on multiple fronts, at least three Palestinians in the West Bank died and more than 120 were injured, many by live ammunition, in confrontations with Israeli soldiers. Israeli commander said protesters had fired extensively at Israeli troops, injuring two soldiers. The Palestinian demonstrations in the West Bank and towns across Israel came on the ninth day of conflict between Hamas and Israel.
And in this morning's L'Equipe, Real Madrid forward Karim Benzema has been included in France's squad for the European Championship in a surprise move by coach Didier Deschamps. Benzema has scored 29 goals in all competitions for Real this season, but has not played in Les Bleus since 2015 after a blackmailing scandal.
BBC News is next.
The Press Review, brought to you by BMW, Nice Premium Motors, Bayonne Avenue Cannes and BMW Store Monaco. Boost your business with the Business Drive BMW range. Find all the BMW Business Drive offers at your car dealer. Riviera Radio. Business.
Morning.
Good morning.
How's your head today?
Excuse me?
How's your head today?
Fine, thank you.
Yeah?
Shouldn't it be?
Well, you know, you had a day off yesterday, didn't you? 4-day week, etc., etc.
And a client call yesterday morning,
which meant I could, lager and a Vindaloo.
Which meant I couldn't join you. I mean, don't judge everyone by your own standards.
You make the most of it. You wait till Uncle Barclay gets hold of you. He'll have you back in the office. Your feet won't touch the ground. He'll have you working your fingers to the bone.
You're loving the idea of that, aren't you?
I am, yes. Since I've been in the office throughout the pandemic, haven't been hiding at home like some people.
Well, you've been in the office some of the time. You've done your 3 hours a day in the office, that's true. And then the rest of the time you're on the Rose down at the beach.
If only, that would be lovely. Markets, we're not looking terribly good at the moment. Some London closed up fractionally, but a fairly big drop on Wall Street.
Yeah, sentiment certainly remains fragile. Yesterday we had positive quarterly earnings from retail bellwethers in the United States. Optimism that the reopening of the economy will spur growth, but that's being offset by a pickup in virus cases in parts of Asia. Concerns about inflation and valuation. Stocks 600 rose 0.2% in Europe yesterday. Travel and leisure actually the best performing sector. I think Europe set to allow British travellers to return, I think, later today, which will be good news there.
Is it though? Is it good news?
Well, why isn't it good news?
Well, it's the amber list, isn't it? And they're saying that you shouldn't go there unless you have to, but then everyone's going to go anyway.
This is true. There should be clearer rules. You're absolutely right. I mean, if you tell people you can go but you shouldn't go, I mean, you know, that basically saying people will go. I think you're absolutely right.
Not to mention the queuing at customs as well.
Yep, very true, very true. It's going to be a bumpy, a turbulent road for many travellers as the world starts to normalise. But let's hope we move slowly but surely towards that. On Wall Street, US stocks declined for a second day. Losses steepened in the final 15 minutes of trading. S&P 500 was down 0.9%. NASDAQ was off 0.6%. Focus will be on the Federal Reserve minutes today, though the weaker November non-farm payroll taking some of the pressure off the FOMC after inflation printed at its highest rate since 2008.
How long do you think Amazon's going to be allowed to go around hoovering up any kind of business it wants? I mean, this latest talk, they're going to buy MGM Studios for $9 billion. I mean, where's it going to stop?
Yeah, it's true. They're becoming aggressive in a number of different areas. Certainly, obviously, becoming a dominant football. Well, dominant's probably taking it too far. A considerable force in terms of retailing. Very strong in terms of things like cloud computing. Lots of other bets elsewhere. And obviously, content is incredibly important. Amazon's done very well with its Prime service. The key part of that is its video content. Looking to assure that pipeline of new content coming through by potentially bidding, as you say, hasn't been confirmed by any means for MGM, which would give them access to a catalogue of films, including James Bond and the Rocky franchises, amongst others.
So what would happen, for example, if Amazon were to make a sudden bid for Tesco's? Would the Monopolies Commission get involved in that?
Well, they would certainly look at it, one would suspect, given the potential control they would have of the market. But yeah, I think it's how they use that power as well that's going to be increasingly important. We've seen perhaps a more aggressive approach being sounded out by the Biden administration that could infringe upon the hopes and the power of many of these big e-commerce giants from the United States. So that regulatory backdrop is certainly becoming much tougher for many of these companies, although they continue to use their power to gain market share in a range of different ways.
Well, that's it, because I mean, if nothing is done to limit their power, we could get to a point where everything in the world is controlled by three or four giant companies.
I think we're far from that point yet, so I don't think we need to be overly concerned, but no doubt regulators will be looking at it.
Well, I don't know. I mean, say Microsoft have a wobble and Apple starts to get interested in them. I mean, what's to prevent them sort of buying Microsoft if the price is right? Well, you just don't know, do you?
I don't know how the valuations would work out that and the potential. Is that your pitch for today, that Apple are going to buy Microsoft?
No, I'm just saying that the more power these companies gain, especially Amazon, which is just buying everything, the more firepower they have to sort of buy other companies that are a bit smaller than them.
There's some big disruptive forces out there, and technology is accelerating that process. And in many ways, that is good. Consumers are benefiting from it. Companies are benefiting from it. You have to adapt, or you will die. There's no doubt about that. It's a ruthless world that we're living in, and the speed of change is probably quicker than we've ever seen before, given the role of technology. So many positives, but as you say, regulators will need to be looking at the potential unintended consequences of many of these deals.
Well, I hope if Amazon want world domination, they have invested too much in Bitcoin.
Bitcoin not looking good. The world's largest cryptocurrency has dropped around 40% from its record of almost $65,000 and was trading below $40,000 yesterday for the first time since February. This is as Tesla said the car maker wouldn't accept Bitcoins as payment. Elon Musk followed up with comments criticizing the environmental cost of mining the tokens. Earlier this week, the People's Bank of China in a statement reiterated that digital tokens can't be used as a form of payment, highlighting some of the regulatory risks. As you know, we've been cautious for some time. Not everyone's agreed with that view, but I think given the outsized volatility, we've seen plenty of examples of that, but particularly over the course of the past few weeks. Poor store of value from a currency perspective, inability to value from an investment perspective, lack of those ESG credentials, regulatory and security risk. For us, Bitcoin continues to be uninvestable.
Retail sales day, so it was quite good yesterday. Walmart reporting pretty good results, but unfortunately, as far as Wall Street went, that was offset by telecom stocks and weak housing data.
Exactly right. The numbers from Walmart actually were pretty good. Blockbuster set of figures for the first quarter. Demand was boosted by stimulus checks given to Americans. And of course, e-commerce business continues to drive sales. Retail giants said first quarter sales surged 6% to $93 billion. Operating profit jumped 27% to $5.5 billion. Online business doing very well. Sales there increased 37%. Walmart are optimistic and said the improvement they've seen since the start of the year should continue, saying its shoppers want to get out and they want to shop. They're anticipating pent-up demand will continue throughout the course of this year. Walmart shares up around about 3.5% yesterday on the update, or up around about 13% year-to-date.
And what are you reading into the latest UK unemployment data?
It was a good set of numbers, actually. UK unemployment falling faster than expected between January and March as the numbers of employees on payrolls increased for a fifth month in a row and hiring accelerated. Adding to the evidence, UK economy is recovering and is gaining momentum as more sectors open. Unemployment rate fell to 4.8% in the first quarter, and for the first time since the pandemic began, employment rates rose 75.2%, still 1.4 percentage points lower than just before the coronavirus took hold. Still means 772,000 people don't have jobs compared to the pre-pandemic levels. But I think improving labour market should help support consumption and in turn growth prospects. We've been upgrading our growth forecast for the UK economy. Now see growth around 5.9% for this year.
Shall we wait and see what happens when the furlough scheme finally comes to an end?
Well, that's going to be absolutely key, isn't it? I was writing about that actually on a report yesterday. This return to work rate will be incredibly important. Vast numbers of employees around the world have been sheltered from the potential devastating impact of the coronavirus due to furlough programs and job retention schemes in various countries at various different rates. It'll be very interesting to see how quickly companies rehire workers or take them back full-time, and that will determine, as you say, employment rates and in turn consumption expectations. I think if you look at the US, the expectation is that we'll continue to see that momentum return to that recovery in the US labor market. A bit of a disappointing number for the non-farm payroll figure last month. The UK looking better. If you look at peak unemployment expectations, they've come down considerably. They were somewhere around about 9% as we go into the pandemic in terms of fears. Maybe it's going to be less than 6%, we now think. Europe, I think, will see elevated unemployment levels for a prolonged period of time. That recovery taking much longer.
Foreign exchanges, please.
Pound against the dollar looking strong this morning, 142. Euro dollar coming in at 122.5. You're going to get €1.16 for your British pound this morning.
Very matter of fact this morning.
quite professional, I thought.
Yeah.
Take that, don't you?
You sound a bit tired, actually.
No. Never.
You should go to bed earlier.
I wouldn't mind.
Right, talk to you tomorrow. Thank you.
Have a good day.
Hank Potts and Barclays.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online, this is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
Sarah Lyster has the top stories across the Riviera.
Restaurants, bars and cafe terraces are to reopen in France today after 7 months of closure due to the health crisis. As the curfew is pushed back to 9 p.m, the drop in the number of COVID patients in intensive care continues. A Public Health France announced on Tuesday that there are currently 4,015 intensive care patients admitted to hospitals in France, and the number of people being hospitalised also continues to decline, with 22,058, its lowest since the end of October 2020. Ahead of today's reopening of terraces, France's Minister of Finance went to meet Parisian restaurant owners on Tuesday. Bruno Le Maire said that this reopening had to be a collective success. Meanwhile, the opening of vaccination to all has been a success, with non-priority people representing 10% of appointments made on Dr. Lib during the last week. Austria has announced that it is to abandon the AstraZeneca vaccine, saying that it will probably continue giving first doses until early June. Then that will be it. Austria cited that the reason was due to persistent delivery delays and public reluctance. This declaration comes after similar decisions by Norway and Denmark, which had, for their part, justified their choice by the rare but serious risk of complications. In other news, police in the Gard have opened an investigation after the discovery of a dead couple in a car. The 73-year-old man and 69-year-old woman were found on Tuesday in their vehicle in an outbuilding of their farmhouse after worried relatives alerted the police. A murder investigation has been opened, with an autopsy taking place today. For the first time in France, a French government minister is to take part in a demonstration today in front of the National Assembly. France's Interior Minister, Gérard Damanin, will be present at the rally, which has been organised by police unions in a call for tougher sentences for attacks carried out on police. The rally was organised after the murder on May the 5th of Eric Massel, a 36-year-old officer killed in Avignon. French President Emmanuel Macron has expressed his wish for France 4, which was to close in August, to continue its activity. The Élysée intends to maintain the broadcasting on TNT of the public channel. And Macron tweeted on Tuesday that the channel must continue its mission around youth, education and culture, adding that France 4 has taken a special place in many French homes, especially since the pandemic. The government had initially planned to shut down the television channel in the summer of 2020, in favour of 100% digital programmes and for the sake of savings for France televisions. The most starred French chef in the world, Alain Ducasse, and the Palace La Palazza Athene are to go their separate ways. Ducasse will be leaving the restaurant of the Parisian Palace, which he has managed since 2000. However, the Dorchester Group, which owns the palace, will continue its collaboration with the French chef at Le Maurice in Paris and at the Dorchester in London. Users of social media have reacted to the mayor of Nice's pro-Israel stance. According to local media, Christian Estrosi posted on his Twitter account a photo of the Israeli flag hanging from the town hall. The Israeli embassy was quick to express to the mayor of Nice its gratitude for this mark of solidarity. Others criticised the move as an attack on the neutrality of the republic. And in a survey carried out by Uber and published on Tuesday, Nice comes sixth in the ranking of the most forgetful customers, behind Nantes, which takes first place, Toulouse second, and Montpellier third, but still ahead of Paris and Toulon. Unsurprisingly, phones, wallets and keys are at the top of the most forgotten items over the past year. And as far as the most unusual objects left behind, these included a whip, a jar of French pickles, or even a spare wheel and a bedside table. Meanwhile, to coincide with the reopening of terraces today, Uber is launching a free ride Lucky Dip, available in seven French cities, including Nice. The option will appear in the app on Wednesdays when the restriction is lifted. That means today, May the 19th, June the 9th and June the 30th, as well as every Saturday evening until June the 26th between 6 p.m. and the curfew time. The app will be giving away up to 1,000 rides every week.
Riviera Radio Sports News.
Football. There were four games in the English Premier League last night. Here are the details from BBC Sports.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Hello, I'm Paul Serres at the BBC Sports Centre. It was a busy night of football as fans returned to stadiums around England after a relaxing of coronavirus restrictions. The newly crowned Premier League champions Manchester City threw away a two-goal lead to lose 3-2 away at Brighton. City had taken the lead through Ilkay Gundogan before João Cancelo was shown a straight red card. Phil Foden doubled City's lead before three second-half goals turned the match on its head. Manchester City's Champions League final opponents, Chelsea, beat Leicester City 2-1 in the Premier League, thanks to goals from Antonio Rudiger and Jorginho. Thomas Tuchel's side are up to third in the table, above Leicester, who beat them in the final of the FA Cup at the weekend. Leeds United scored two late goals through Patrick Bamford and Tyler Roberts to beat Southampton 2-0 at St Mary's. And Manchester United were held to a 1-1 draw by already relegated Fulham at Old Trafford. Edinson Cavani continued his excellent recent form with a goal early on before Joe Bryan equalised for Scott Barker's side after the break. Crystal Palace manager Roy Hodgson will leave the club when his contract expires at the end of the season. The 73-year-old former England boss said the time was right to step away from top-flight football, and he looks back on his time with Palace with pride.
Each year has been a challenge. Each year has been a tough one for us to compete against teams sometimes who certainly on paper look a lot stronger than us. But to keep ourselves away from the relegation zone during that period of time, if we discount those early weeks in September when I joined, I think that in itself is probably the thing which is going to stick most in my memory.
And for more football news from the BBC, go to bbc.com/football.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Oh, Roy's stepping away from top flight management, eh? You go and manage Liverpool then. Six games tonight for the penultimate time. Premiership predictions. Everton play Wolves.
Win for Everton.
Really? Yeah. They lost at home to Sheffield United the other night, didn't they? So, Wolves. Newcastle against Sheffield United.
Newcastle.
Yeah. Spurs against Aston Villa.
Spurs.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Draw. Crystal Palace against Arsenal.
Why a draw? They won.
Who?
Tottenham.
They haven't won
yet.
They
won over Wolverhampton, didn't they? 2-0.
Yeah, so?
Well, winning
inconsistent.
Streak.
Inconsistent.
Okay, sorry. Continue.
Crystal Palace against Arsenal. Will Roy go up for the bang?
Oh, I'll go for a draw there. I'll sit
Palace
on the fence.
Burnley against Liverpool.
One would hope it will be Liverpool. Come on, Liverpool. Yeah.
Stuart says, I'll be happy with the draw. Then I won't upset anyone. Plus, after spending the afternoon drinking at my local auberge, will I care?
This is true. Good point. Well made.
Draw.
You rotter.
Why? Just trying to be honest. And West Brom against West Ham.
West Ham.
West Brom. Going down fighting. Formula One, the first media conference ahead of Sunday's Monaco Grand Prix, takes place this afternoon as talk increases as to who will grab pole position for the big race. Lewis Hamilton leads Max Verstappen by 14 points in the Drivers' Championship heading into the weekend. Monaco authorities are allowing 7,500 spectators a day to attend the event, with grandstand capacity limited to 40%. Authorities warn that spectators who are not Monaco residents or workers, or those staying in hotels in the Principality, must present a negative PCR test before being allowed access to the circuits. Cricket, the uncapped Gloucestershire batsman James Bracey and the Sussex seamer Ollie Robinson have been included in England's 50-man squad for the two tests against New Zealand. Somerset's Craig Overton, who last played in 2019, is also included. Joss Butler, Chris Wokes, Sam Curran, Moeen Ali and Johnny Bairstow have all been left out after only recently returning from the Indian Premier League. Ben Stokes, who has a broken finger, and Jofra Archer, who's suffering with an elbow injury, are also missing. The first test starts at Lords on the 2nd of June. Rugby Union, there was one game in the Gallagher English Premiership last night. Exeter were 31-12 winners at London Irish. And in boxing, the big fight between Tyson Fury and Anthony Joshua looks to be off after Deontay Wilder reportedly requested $20 million to step aside. On Monday, a judge in the United States ruled that Wilder had a contractual right to face Fury for a third time by the 15th of September. Fury said that Wilder had asked for $20 million to move over, adding, "It looks like I'll have to crack his skull again." Oh. Wilders can deny the claim and say he wants blood and not step-aside
like
money. Well, it's boxing, isn't it? It's
more
macho.
No, we'd have grown out of it by now.
Right hook here, left jab there, you know.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Accelerate Marine.
For coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Almere Sea and the Var, the general situation is a depression 1,010 millibars over the Po Plain. Winds are westerly, force 4 to 6. The sea is moderate, visibility is good. Barometric pressure of Saint Jean Cap Ferrat 1,012 millibars. And the outlook for Thursday, clear skies, force 2 to 4, variable winds, slight seas, and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are northwesterly, force 4 to 6. The sea is moderate, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,011 millibars. And the outlook for Thursday, clear skies, force 3 to 5 westerly winds, slight to moderate seas and good visibility.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Accelerate Marine. For enhanced, high-performing connectivity on board your yacht, speak to our expert team today about our VSAT and 4G packages. Visit connectmyyacht.com.
Riviera Radio. Weather.
What is it you expect from a boxing match?
I just don't like it.
Should they start reading poetry to each other instead?
Well, that would be nice. Yes, there you go. Oh, you could have a battle of words. Mm.
The Poetry World Championship.
Why not?
The Battle of Words.
Oh, can you give somebody, pardon? one of your fans that I bumped into yesterday wants to know when you give the weather report.
Yes.
What's it like for paddleboarding? He said he was planning on going out paddleboarding.
Well, that should come into the marine weather forecast.
Oh, okay. So I hope you paid attention then.
I wouldn't advise it today because the sea's moderate.
Oh, right. So not a good idea.
Each to their own. Extreme paddleboarding, maybe. Clear skies, moderate westerly winds across the Var. Top temperature 22 degrees, overnight lows 14 to 16 degrees with clear skies. Thursday and Friday, mainly fine, highs of 19 to 21 degrees. Finally.
Endangered baby names going extinct in the UK, including Gemma and Hannah.
Norman.
A number of adorable baby names have been dropping in popularity over the last 10 years and risk going extinct with Kieran, Hannah and Kyle on the list.
Gemma's a really nice name.
Yeah.
I really like and Hannah as well.
Yeah,
Kieran's
nice.
A nice name as well.
Well, choosing a name for your baby is always a big decision, and many of us have pored over books looking for the right one. And whether you want something unique or more popular, it's always good to know which names are in fashion at any given time. Currently, it's micronames that are popular, like Luna and Arlo. They're proving to be big winners across the English-speaking world and much of Europe. Plus, old-fashioned names like Bertie, Agnes and Clara have been making a big comeback.
Clara?
There you go.
Wasn't one of the trucks in Thomas the Tank Engine called Clara?
Yes, and Annabelle as well.